Yeah, it's the Chucktown Check-In. I am Eric Quintana, and with me, as always, Seamus Grady, coming off a win for the Battery against Toronto FC 2, season sweep, and I think, by all accounts, Seamus, better ball movement and just better control and just a better game to watch for the most part.
Oh, yeah, it was much better performance for the Battery. You know, they abandoned that kick and run we talked
about. Yeah, thank God.
Yeah, I know. Did a great job keeping the ball on the ground. You know, I don't know how much the conditions played into that because it was very windy up at Ontario Soccer Center. So it was a windy night, and they kept the ball on the ground. So hopefully they'll just keep doing that. You know, because it was getting pretty tiring watching them just lob the ball down the field and try to play the long ball. You know.
Yeah, and it was so nice to see it all culminate in what was that great goal. I have it written down here. It started with a bad throw from the keeper, headed by one of the defenders straight to Garbanzo, who turns around, plays it to Portillo. Portillo passes it to Guerra, who one-times it back to Garbanzo. Garbanzo's shot is blocked, but the rebound ultimately tucked in by Romario Williams for the only goal in the night. And that ball movement was what really drove that goal in, and it was great to see that kind of movement throughout the entire match, especially in the attacking third.
Oh yeah, definitely. And it was definitely, I really liked the lineup we saw.
Yep.
Starting off against that Toronto team, Cordo and Williams did a great job. They kept the pressure up all night, and then you saw Garbanzo come in as a sub there late, and I think that's a role that really suits him. I'd really like to see that Cordo Williams team to just keep up with that for the starting lineup, and then you bring Garbanzo in there late. I think that was great. As soon as he came in, he provided that spark, and you know, just that great, great chemistry, great combo play by the Battery between the midfield with Guerra, Chang, and Portillo, and those forwards. It was a great performance.
7 goals in 14 games for Williams, and it just goes to show how good he is in those clutch situations and get putting the ball in the back of the net. I haven't looked at the rankings. I was actually about to look him up, but I forget where he stands when it comes to.
I think he's tied for fourth or fifth.
That's what I thought. Like I thought he was. Yeah, I don't think he was. I don't think he was right at the top, but I know he was up there. And it's just good to see that it's seemingly all starting to come together now. It's the third game they've seemingly had. I don't want to say control of the game, but, I mean, they've won 3 of the last 4, and so obviously that's a good sign to see that things are kind of turning around. However, I will say we're sticking to that pattern of that one goal difference with the loss or with, you know, either losing by one goal or winning by one goal, and that's a dangerous way to live if you're Charleston. But good to see the win nonetheless. Zambakis earning his second consecutive clean sheet, his 5th overall of the season. Not the busiest night for him, but he had a couple good saves, a couple good looks, and again, a second straight clean sheet for him, and that's obviously a good sign.
Yeah, it was a great performance. I would probably credit that clean sheet more to the back four.
Yeah.
They did a great job shutting down that Toronto attack, who's they've been pretty good. You know, they got that 16-year-old up-and-coming little, it's like their prodigy up there,
yeah.
Sean Hundle. He's a tremendous talent, and they really, Sean Ferguson, he was flying all over the field and showing off that speed that really sets him apart as a center back. And it was just a great night for that back four.
I know that we've been on a back and forth throughout the season about certain players and whether they should get looked at by Atlanta United. And Sean Ferguson was one of the ones that sort of went back and forth. He's had a few games where just like, oh my gosh, he can't even be on the radar right now. And after this last match, he certainly, I think, should be in consideration for, you know, that opening training camp come 2017 and see what he can't do, see if he can't earn a position based off just that last game alone. You see the talent. You see what he's capable of doing. It's just whether he can put it together for a full season and how that works at the next level.
Yeah, and he really is a great raw talent. And you just look at his skills, and it's really surprising. You know, looking at the guy, he only started playing soccer his junior year of high school.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's when he started. He was a guy that was more of a baseball prospect coming out of high school. then I caught the attention of the coaches over at College of Charleston, and he's been here ever since. You know, and he's a guy with a really great work ethic. You talk about a guy that he signed with the Battery his junior year in college and still managed to graduate from College of Charleston while playing for the Charleston Battery. So that speaks volumes about his work ethic, and he's a great player. I mean, he's had an up and down season so far, but I definitely think he's a guy that should be on Atlanta's radar, and it wouldn't even surprise me, because looking forward, I think this is something we've talked a lot about. I could see, I would expect that this affiliation is going to go on for at least 2 to 3 years till Atlanta gets their own USL team, and I wouldn't be surprised if they sign Sean and he's right back in Charleston next year. You know, that wouldn't surprise me at all for him or Tambakis.
Yeah, I mean, it just depends. Just going down that scenario, going down that road for a second, it depends on who they ultimately go out and try to grab, who they pick up in the expansion draft, if there is an expansion draft, and who they pick up in the super draft. And for all we know, it could be that, you know, they need him just because there's a lack of depth, or there's you know, he is the best talent at center back that we have. I mean, he's a captain for a reason over at Charleston, so it's good to see that he's at least having a good game. He's starting to have a better season right now. One of the things that did concern me is just the lack of goals. Being that we're halfway through the season, we've hit that halfway mark. I believe we're already past it, and it just doesn't seem like beyond one or two goals. That's basically, I'm waiting for that breakout game where they score four or five and really impress, and that's yet to be seen. So I'm just wondering where that comes from, if they have that, you know. You look at some teams and their entire mindset is to sit back, and then counter, and then you basically score enough just to win the game. That doesn't seem to be what the Battery are doing. It just seems like they can't really capitalize on their opportunities.
Yeah, and, you know, the talent's there as far as forwards go. You know, you got guys like Cordovis, Williams, and, I mean, there's the abilities there, Garbanzo. And it just seems like the games where they've found their shots, it's like they've been finding nothing but the woodwork, or they've been shooting the ball way high. I'm not sure what the problem is there, because it was good to see them get a goal this week, but you're right. It would be great to see them win by more than one goal every now and then. And, I mean, you look at the two previous games to the Toronto match, you know, you're looking at they scored nothing but off penalties. You know, that's not a good look, you know, when you're scoring all your goals off penalties.
Yeah, I mean, look, to be fair, it is, you still have 15 games left, so it's not like you're in any danger or anything like that. It's, you know, they've been picking up the points. 1, 2, 3, 4, only four losses on the season. So, I mean, it hasn't looked bad. I guess I'm looking for more of a sense of urgency in trying to score as many goals as you can, you know, being frustrated that you aren't scoring as many goals as you probably could be. You know, even against teams that you look better. I remember earlier in the season, you were beating these teams at the death, basically. And you were drawing against teams that you look so much better than and hold so much more possession and ball control and the movement is so much better than your opponent. And my hope is that we're not looking at those games late in the season going, oh, man, if only we had scored against the team we dominated in OCB early in the season, or, you know, if we had, I don't know, you know, against Charlotte, we would have done better, or not let in some stupid goals. I just hope we're not looking toward, you know, we're not looking back at the end of the season regretting what could have been because we're not scoring enough goals, because we're not taking advantage of those opportunities.
Yeah, I get what you're saying too. And the bright side is they're still, you know, in the top half of the table.
Right.
They're definitely still, you know, they're not in danger to miss the playoffs at the moment, and hopefully it stays that way. But you're looking at a team that, I mean, if they could find the net, you're looking at a team that could be easily on top of the table right now.
You look at
they definitely have the ability to be right there on top of the table.
You look at some of the other teams. So right now, Charleston sits fourth in the standings, 15 games played, and then Cincinnati and Red Bulls have played 14, and Louisville has played 16. 35 points, 31 points, 28 points, and Charleston 27. And you look at the goal differential, and it's Louisville City, for example, is 30 to 15, 23 to 8 for Red Bulls, 28 to 21, which I guess isn't that impressive for Cincinnati. And then 19, oh, sorry, no, I'm looking at the wrong thing. 30 and 15, 23 and 8, 21 and 13, and then 19 and 15 for Charleston, for a differential of 4. Whereas the next lowest is 8. So it just, I just feel like they're playing too much with fire, I guess. But they are still in fourth. They are still within contention to win the Eastern Conference and to certainly make a playoff run. So it's not an emergency, but I don't know. I just feel like it should be better, I guess. I don't know.
They should definitely be better. You know, this, you look at this team play, and when it has flashes, like, yeah, you looked at like what we saw preseason early on in the season, like, you would think they should have no problem. I mean, the ability you have in those forwards in the midfield, the chemistry they've shown that they can have together. I mean, there's no reason why you shouldn't have at least some games where you're beating a team by multiple goals.
Yeah, no question for me. 16 shots for the Battery, 8 on target, 1 goal, 6 shots for Toronto FC, 2 with 1 on frame. And that's where I just get I just frustrated a little bit, because you had 16 total shots and 1 goal, and I know that sometimes that happens, but it just seems to be happening a lot lately for the Battery. Looking back the last couple other games that we just haven't had a chance to go over real quick. Harrisburg City Islanders with a 1-0 win, and I love their stadium. I think it's their stadium. It was the Pittsburgh Riverhounds. Is that the one on the river?
That one was
Harrisburg
awesome. Harrisburg has like a weird situation. They like split their time between two stadiums, but I don't even think they're called Harrisburg anymore, because they play in two cities. I think it's just the City Islanders.
Yeah, I think that's what I just.
I still call them Harrisburg.
Yeah, and they're listed here as Harrisburg. I just said Harrisburg. But, yeah. So, Harrisburg, they had a 1-0 win against Harrisburg, or the City Islanders. A 2-1 loss to OCB, which was the second consecutive home loss for the Battery, which it's good to see that they're back on the winning ways. My goodness, that was a tough couple home games for OCB, especially when that home crowd had not seen them lose at home in literally 2 years.
Oh, yeah, I know. It was rough to see the streak end. 29 games dating back 2 years. And I know I've talked a lot with some of the people with the team and some of the other media there in the press box. And we couldn't quite figure it out, because, you know, it would take, you know, it would be a very hard stat to confirm. But we think that was the longest running home unbeaten streak in North America.
Yeah, that is. I'm trying to think of any other sport where that's even remotely where a stat is even remotely close to that, and I can't think of one.
29 games. I mean, that's impressive.
Yeah, but I don't.
And it's crazy. I remember talking about early in the season how much they struggle on the road, and now you're coming off, you know, 2-1. The past 3 games at home, and then 4-0 on the road. Like, what's going on? It's like a completely opposite now.
Yeah, and hopefully the trend continues, because you could see some good things happen. You got a good matchup against Louisville City in a couple weeks, and then you face OCB again at home, and the Red Bulls in Cincinnati. So you have a chance, and Charlotte. You have a chance to really kind of put yourself back into that number one spot, get yourself back into the top of the table contention, top of the table conversation, and really make an impact that way. I'm trying to think. Coming up next for the Charleston Battery, the Richmond Kickers at home, hopefully continuing, restarting that winning streak that we just talked about. And that matchup is usually always pretty good, isn't it, Seamus?
Yeah, it's always a pretty good matchup. You know, that's two of the older teams in USL, and historically that's been, you know, when you're looking at coming down late in the season, it's usually, you know, Charleston and Richmond are usually right in the thick of things towards the end of the season. So that's always an important matchup. It's a series that's been pretty even, you know, throughout the history of it, and it's usually a very good match, so it should be fun to watch. It should be a great matchup. Yep.
Didn't we play them already? I'm trying to think.
No.
Never mind.
Yeah, this is the first time we're playing.
I do know the com well, I don't know the commentators, but the guys that do the broadcast, they do a little they do one of the bigger soccer podcasts in the United States, the little soccer show. They do the running commentary for Richmond Kickers matches, so I don't think we'll be able to hear them, but it'll be fun nonetheless to go up against those guys. And then the week after, no, not even the week after, the Wednesday after,
Just a few days after.
Rangers FC.
Yeah.
That is going
Big
to
time
be
match.
impressive. That's going to
Oh, yeah.
be, I gotta think that people are going to come out for that one.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be bananas. I know they've already sold out three sections to Rangers fans. And I know the Charleston crowd, the soccer scene in Charleston, everybody's going to be there. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. And then, you got, I think Rangers just got into town yesterday for training.
Yep.
Going to be here for a whole 10 days. And actually, you know who got spotted in town today was old Gooch Onyewu.
Oh
He was
yeah.
spotted in a Rangers training top. So
That's
who
a
knows?
surprise. Is
Maybe.
that a, is that's a surprise, right?
Yeah. I mean, I thought he was done.
No, so did
He,
I.
I mean, he hasn't played for anybody in how long? 2 years?
I feel
Something
like
like that.
last time I saw him, I think it was a nat with the national team.
Yeah, and yeah, so looks like old Gooch is trying to make a comeback, you know. I'm sure if things don't work out with Rangers, you know, I'm sure we'd give him a shot in Charleston, you
Oh,
know.
I'm sure you guys
Yeah.
would. I feel like Charleston, at least you as the spokesman for Charleston, just like, yeah, just bring us anyone you want, anyone with the name. Come on, come to
Yeah,
Charleston.
exactly. You know, just sign somebody. Hey, Adu's looking for a team, right?
He usually is, yeah. So,
Yeah, so Freddie, we got the beach here. I mean, you can come by and, you know, just give it a shot. Just come for a match.
sell your vacuums up in Charleston.
Yeah.
Yeah, that game again against sorry, Richmond Kickers match is a July 2nd, 7:30. I believe it's a Saturday, and then Wednesday, July 6th, will be the Rangers FC match. That one obviously an exhibition match, so doesn't really mean anything. But it'd be a good chance to see what Charleston has against, you know, some of the best known club. Well, one of the best known clubs in the world, especially
Yeah,
at.
no.
Like
It'll be very exciting.
you got like those Boca Juniors, you've got what's the one in Brazil? You know, you have like Corinthians,
Oh, yeah,
you
Corinthians.
got some of the
Just
other
one of
ones that are world renowned clubs for some, whether they've have good academies and they just pump out players,
Yeah.
whatever the reason is, whether they're just known as a dominant club, like much like the Rangers are. But yeah, it's just good to see what Charleston can do against one of the more well renowned clubs in the world.
Yeah, and they have a good history of really surprising teams in these summer friendlies. I mean, you look at last season, and they scheduled West Brom, and they came pretty darn close to coming up and, you know, biting the baggies right in the rear, because I think it finished 2-1, and it was off a late goal by West Brom. And you know, looking back, 2004, they pull off a huge upset over Sunderland. And you know, they have a history of biting some bigger teams, so we'll see what happens. Maybe they can pull off an upset.
That match starting at 7 o'clock again on Wednesday. Is it gonna be available on YouTube? I gotta think, right? I don't
I know
know.
the West Brom one was last year. I'm not 100% certain on that, but
You'd think USL would
the
want to pump that up, pump that.
I would think so. I would imagine it's going to be streaming somewhere.
Well, good. So if you didn't get a chance to see that, sorry. If you don't get a chance to go to the game, make sure you check it out on YouTube. One other thing we wanted to discuss was, for us Atlanta folks, Charleston Battery coming to Atlanta to play a tune-up match against the U23 Nigerian Olympic team, which has caused a bit of stir here in Atlanta.
Oh man.
What are people saying up in Charleston? Are they willing to make the drive down to Atlanta? Is that
I know there's been some time, you know, just following on the supporters Slack and you know, the Facebook pages for the supporters groups, QAR and the regiment. I know they were talking about trying to coordinate a bus trip. So I know there's interest there, and I wouldn't be surprised if you see quite a bit of black and yellow there in the stadium. But man, I just don't understand what all the fuss is about. I just don't get like Silverback supporters. I understand we're playing in your house, but
Well, it's
you
Boris's
are
house.
a if you are a team getting ready for the Olympics, or you're the company promoting the team playing for the Olympics. I think it's United Soccer Africa or
Yeah,
something
I
like that.
forget what it's called, but it's
Yeah, but you just look at it purely off of preparing for the Olympics. Are you going to play a semi-professional amateur? Nobody can answer me the question what they really are anymore. Are you going to play them? Or you look regionally, what's the closest best competition you're going to get? I'm sorry, it's not the Silverbacks, it's Charleston. That's a better choice. And then you look at it from the marketing standpoint. Who's going to sell more tickets? And I've seen this all over Twitter. Well, the Silverbacks are going to outsell. There's no way the Battery outsell the Silverbacks. And it's like, no, dude. Come on. You got Tambakis, you got O2, you probably got Carlton and maybe Gosselin that are going to be on the Battery by then.
Maybe. We don't
And
know for sure, but maybe.
maybe we don't know for sure. I mean, I'm pretty confident Carlton will be there, but I'm not
He could also not
guaranteeing
be
or
there.
anything. He can also not be there, but that's going to draw out the Atlanta United supporters. It's going to be really their first opportunity to see some people who are going to be in, wearing that Atlanta United shirt in Atlanta. So that's going to draw a huge crowd. And I'm sorry, but that's outselling the Silverbacks every day of the week.
Yeah, and you got to look at it from, I know you mentioned this briefly, but you got to look at it from a marketing perspective in the sense that they are the draw. There's no way I would be willing to stake my entire non-existent radio career on the fact that Charleston, the Battery match, Battery U23 Nigeria sell out, honestly, because
Oh, yeah.
you're going to have a ton of Atlanta United supporters on top of the fact that this is a large Nigerian, there's a large Nigerian population, if not just African soccer population, here in Atlanta that'll come out regardless if they're from Nigeria or not, unless they're super big rivals, and not super familiar with the rivalry situation is in Africa. But I mean, in the World Cup, how often do we see the last remaining African team get
Oh,
cheered
yeah.
on by all the Africans because it's
Yeah,
never been done
that's
before and all that stuff.
exactly. Yeah.
So you know
It's the
it's
beauty of the African nations is
Yeah,
they all draw together, like they're
absolutely.
always cheering for the continent.
Absolutely. And so that on top of the fact that you're going to have all the Atlanta United people out there getting, like you said, getting a look at Tambakis, getting a look at O2, hopefully getting the first like real, for a lot of people it would be the first time they would have seen Carlton play at all, not even just on YouTube or online or in highlights, but it'll be the first go of Carlson they've ever seen, and they'll be able to see him go up against, Olympic qualify, competition. I'm not gonna say top talent because I don't know what the talent is in Nigeria, but they always do well. They always are doing well. I mean, look how they did in the I think it was the U17 World Cup. I think they won, didn't they? No,
Yeah, I think so.
I forget if they
Well,
won or not.
I'm not sure.
They did
Yeah.
well.
And they have that kid from Arsenal
I
too.
think they did. Yeah, I'm pretty sure
Yeah.
they did well. They're always doing well. They
Yeah.
have a reputation for really doing well in the youth tournaments, and for some reason that does not translate to, the senior teams and whatnot. But you'll see a guy like Andrew Carlton going up against that kind of quality competition. You'll see O2, you'll see Tambakis, you'll see some of the guys that will more than likely maybe like a Sean Ferguson, Romario Williams. Well, Romario Williams would that'd be a that that. That's a deal that would have to be worked out with Montreal, but you get what I'm saying. That some of the guys that will probably be in training camp to start the 2017 season will more than likely be there. I haven't heard of anyone specifically not traveling to Atlanta, and it's going to be just for the Atlanta United fan base. It's going to be great, and if we can get people to come out in droves for little things like, the local reveal or what else have we touted out there? I mean, just look at how many people participated in the Flag Friday thing. If we can get them to come out to, if just those people came out to Silverbacks Park when that match goes down, I mean, it's going to easily sell out that stadium. It's not a big stadium either. On top of that, if I'm a Silverex fan, and I said this on the More Atlanta United podcast that I'm on, I would be using this as an opportunity to really sell my club, to market my club, to market the club that I love, because the club that I love won't market themselves. I would be handing out, you know, whatever I could, koozies or some, you know, magnetic schedules or whatever it is. Even it doesn't have to be magnetic, paper schedules, whatever. Find a way to market your club as opposed to complaining about how, you know, your team isn't the one playing in your quote unquote your park. Sorry, it's not your park. It's Boris's park. He does with it what he wants. It just happens to be named Silverbacks Park. It could have been named anything. It could have been named, you know, Bocephus. I don't know. It could be named anything. It just happens to be named Silverbacks Park. More people go to the adult league, go to watch the adult league soccer matches throughout the week than do the Silverbacks game. So, sorry. That's just the truth. But yeah, instead of complaining, find a way to market your team. That's just the only thing I'll say. I mean, I feel like I've said it like 45 million times now.
Yeah.
It's just been redundant for me because I'm just like, why? It doesn't.
I just don't understand the anger.
Me neither.
It's
take advantage of it.
It's not a bad thing for your club. I think, honestly, in all honesty, I think the only reason there's so much fuss by the Silverback supporters is because Charleston is Atlanta United's affiliate.
No,
and there's always going to be that bitterness there, and it's really unwarranted. Yeah. Atlanta United didn't kill the Silverbacks. You know what killed the Silverbacks? Bad ownership.
Yep.
There you go. And that was going on long before we knew MLS was coming to Atlanta.
Yeah, if you think Atlanta United was I don't want to say the cherry on top because that implies it's like a good thing. And I don't think it's a good thing the Silverbacks had to drop to NPSL and no, you know, are essentially a semi-pro league or a semi-pro club at this point. But this was going to happen eventually, yeah. Just based on how it was managed alone. I mean, they're talking as if the conversation before Atlanta United even came to existence hadn't happened. They were talking about selling that club from Atlanta before Atlanta United even was an idea. So it's not – you can't blame Atlanta United for this. This is strictly on ownership. This is strictly marketing purposes. And I would take advantage if I were Silverbacks to try to get people to recognize that they exist, that they still exist. A lot of people still think they're gone. They just don't know. And that's honestly a big reason why no one showed up, because they didn't know. Millions of people have passed by that park going to and from work just based off its location, and still not as many people that should have known about it actually knew about it. But
yeah, exactly.
That's a conversation we can have another day.
Yeah. this is a battery podcast. Silverbacks.
Point is, it's a good decision by the park to have the battery come in. It's good on every level. If you don't like it, make sure you do something about it. And what I think is funny is that the Silverback said something to the effect, sent out a tweet saying, you'd think we let the U23 Nigeria team get out of here before we got a chance to play them. I guarantee you, I'll be happy to put up whatever and say that we'll get the battery match will get more fans, will draw more than the Silverbacks. And that's not even...
That tweet was like a week ago.
Yeah, and that's not even a contest for me.
Just crickets. Haven't heard any announcements. So
not yet.
I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see. All right. Is there anything else, Seamus? Anything else I left out in this recap of? Sorry that we are rather late with our recap. So it's just been busy for me. I've got a bunch of stuff going on, and with Copa America and all that stuff. We've been doing live shows. On location from restaurants and from viewing parties, so it's been tough to get some of these recaps out there. But now that everything's over, now that basically we're just waiting on the Euros to end, it should be a lot easier to get these things done, and we'll be back on schedule throughout the rest of the season and into a good playoff run for the battery. And then one last thing that I almost forgot about. We are actually going to be at, well, actually, Seamus, you take it over because you know more about the details than I do, because I'm from Atlanta and not from Charleston.
Well, yeah, we finally ironed out the final details with the club, got approval and everything, and we are going to be doing a live. We're going live, right, Eric?
Yeah, we're going live.
We'll do it
We'll do
live.
it
Do it
live.
live. Do it live. Yes, we'll be live from Three Lions Pub in MUSC Health Stadium for a live broadcast, doing a little Mouths of the South, Chucktown check-in road trip. Sam and Jason will be there from Mouths of the South. So, yeah, it'll be a good time. So come on up to Three Lions, say hello. I'm sure we're starting at what time? What time are we starting, Eric?
I gotta think 5:30-ish, so that by
5:30-ish.
6:30 we're done. We got an hour live show,
Yep.
and then we can go find our seats and watch Battery take on the Rangers.
Yeah, so come on up there, have a pint with us,
We're very
talk
friendly.
some.
We're very friendly. We
Yeah, won't bite.
we enjoy the conversations off mic, and always love meeting people that listen to the podcast. Who knows? Maybe we may even buy someone, a lucky someone, a pitcher of a beer, a round of beer.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so. We'll see. And definitely we'll do the show, and then once that wraps up, I'm sure we'll go over to the regiment and QAR tailgate, do a little march to the match, pop some yellow smoke, dance and sing, do all that, and party around in E1. So it'll be a good time, guys. So we look forward to seeing you.
Yeah, no, definitely looking forward. That's next week again, Wednesday, July 6th. Match starts at 7 o'clock. Before that, remember, July 2nd, 7:30, Battery versus the Richmond Kickers, 7:30 Eastern Time on YouTube. If that'll do it, anything else, Seamus?
I think we're good.
All
We're
right,
good.
guys. Until next time, be easy, everybody.